Okay, well, as usual, I have a little bit unusual names for my my sessions. This one's called Paul Had a Stigmatism in His Eyes. A Stigmatism in His Eyes. Or another title could be Paul Was Cross-Eyed. So we're going to pretty much be in Galatians, Book of Galatians. I think I've only got one scripture outside of that. First one is Galatians 4, if you'll turn there with me. And here, Paul says this, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." And so here, he's basically saying that he has some sort of infirmity, and that whatever that infirmity was, that the people received him, they didn't let that get in the way of him sharing, and it was as if it wasn't him at all. He was bringing Christ to them. And many scholars believe that the particular problem that he had was in relationship to his eyes, that he had some sort of eye problem. Therefore, we find in Galatians 6:11, and I'm going to try, this particular note is really small here, but Galatians 6:11 says this, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." And this little note says, this is Scofield Bible, and in the little note underneath it says, "Although no record is given in the New Testament as to what Paul's infirmity was, it is possible that his eyes were in some affliction. Perhaps this is the the reason for not writing in his own hand." And he does that in several of his letters. But for the most part, somebody is transcribing, copying, taking his dictation down, and that's where the letters came from. And so so there was some sort of a situation with his eyes that was affected him. And most of you probably know what astigmatism is. My wife just went to the eye doctor, and they told her she has astigmatism. A lot of people have astigmatisms. But do you know what a stigmata is? Now, some of you with a Catholic background might know what that is, but the basic definition of that, and as I said, it's used a lot by Catholics. I wrote it down here. Stigmata is a term used to describe marks, wounds, bleeding, or sensations of pain in locations corresponding to the crucifixion wounds of Jesus Christ. Okay. So, interestingly enough, that term originated with Paul. He used it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. And there he talks about bearing in his body. So let's read it. Galatians 6, 17. "For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The word marks there is the word stigma, from which we get stigmata. And I wrote this down. I believe to Paul it meant any marks or scars obtained in ministry carried out by Christ crucified's nature in you. So this means that all the things, you know, some of you are real familiar with the scriptures, where it's talking about all these things that Paul went through. And he went through, you know, being shipwrecked and being beat and stoned and on and on and on. So here in Galatians, he says, "Look, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. This didn't just happen to me. This didn't happen because I was not wise in how I presented myself, or because I made a mistake somewhere along the line. He's saying, this happened to me because Christ's crucified nature, the life of Jesus, was at work in me and was producing the very thing that I was doing, and therefore got a reaction against people who reject him, and situations such as that. So, so I kind of combined the thought of a stigmatism with the stigmata. But it's interesting that that word for marks is from where we get stigmata, but it is the word stigma. I bear the stigma of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of how people look at me because I preach the cross, and they say, well, what about this? And why don't you preach that? And what is this? And people say stuff like that to me all the time. You know, well, why don't you preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, just at the conference, we had a ton of people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, why don't you preach healing? Well, we have people continually being healed in our fellowship, and that's the truth. But I don't preach that. I preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. And so to some who don't understand that, or, you know, think that something's wrong with you, I remember one time somebody said, they said, you preach Christ crucified. He said, you preach the cross all the time. And he said, you need to come into some balance. And I said, listen, you don't balance Jesus Christ crucified with healing. You don't balance Jesus with the teaching of how to have a better Christian home. You don't, if you know anything about a balance, it's like, you could call it a teeter-totter or a seesaw, whatever terminology you use. You know, they want to put the cross on one side and then put something else that they think is just as important, when in reality, Christ crucified is the fulcrum upon which that board stands, and everything else must be balanced by him. Everything else must be balanced in relationship to him. And if it's not, if he's not there, there's no balance at all. So this is the thing that Paul saw. And so he also saw that to take that stand was going to be a stigma. He'd always bear a stigma of people's reaction or whatever, that you would preach death with Christ instead of just life. But you see, there is no life except it come out of death. You know, I'll even say it like this. Christian life has to come out of death because it comes out of Christ crucified. It has to come. That's where it comes from. So, I put down that Paul had a stigmatism. Not just a stigmatism, but a stigmatism, because he saw the cross. He saw, he had eyes that were affected by that. And some people say, well, that's an infirmity in your eyes. You've got too much Jesus in your eyes. You've got too much of the cross of Christ in your eyes. Paul wasn't ashamed of that. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 1 and 2, he says this, and I, brethren, so he's talking to the brothers, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, in other words, trying to impress people with the way you speak instead of who you share. You know? declaring unto you the testimony of God. The testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, this stigmatism that's in his eyes is the cross. And it's sometimes called cross-eyed. Well, it's sometimes by me called cross-eyed. I'm the one who uses that terminology in relationship to Paul, that he was cross-eyed. His eyes were firmly fixed. All that he could see was the cross. All that he really understood of God came from that. And so if that's the source and that's the fountain, then he's looking at the fountain, not all the stuff that's springing forth out of it, all the things that's rising out of it. That's wonderful. That's glorious. No problem. But it is not as glorious as Jesus in his selfless life. Or you could say it another way. It's not as glorious as the Lamb of God on the throne that everything will worship. They're not going to be standing out there worshiping miracles or, that's going to be a quote-unquote Christian gathering there before the Lamb. They're not going to be there waiting for the Lamb to call them forward so that they could get healing. And I don't have a problem with healing and miracles and all that. I'm just saying, you don't balance Christ crucified with all those things. And so they're not going to be standing there going, oh, is this going to be a healing service? No, it's not. And in fact, if you look at the Lamb, he doesn't look healed. The scriptures declare that he looked as a little lamb, as though it had been slaughtered. That's the look that Jesus had in resurrection, as if he wasn't healed. It doesn't say, and they looked and they saw how healed and wonderful and sorted out his whole life was. No, they're going to see this one who gave himself ultimately in every way so that we could have life, his life. So, this is all he can see because his focus has come together. You know, we got two eyes. And, maybe it would be possible. Certainly with two eyes, we see a broader spectrum. But I would assume that somebody, and I've never been cross-eyed, and I don't cross my eyes, but I would assume that if you're cross-eyed, that your eyes are sort of coming together. Your focus is becoming more one. Well, I don't know about physically, but spiritually, that's a fact. That's what's happening. It's coming together, and you're focusing more on the object, which is Christ crucified, instead of focusing on what his hands are doing, giving you, or what his death is doing for you, but rather the spirit of the one who has given himself there. And then also in Galatians 6:14, this is Paul, but God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And just that thought that he's glorying in the cross of his own crucifixion. He's not glorying in the cross that saved him. He's not glorying in the cross that gave him gifts. He's glorying in the cross in one particular way. It put me to death so that Christ may live within me. It put me to death so that I would have no other life and no other source and no other recourse but Christ, the Lamb of God. So I said, well, he was a cross-eyed man, but he was probably one of the only cross-eyed men that could see straight. He could see his straight. He sees straighter than we do with two eyes. Praise God. And then Paul says, in Galatians 6:12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And so he says that there is this group, there is this leaning of looking good in the flesh. This group that wants to look good. They don't want a stigmatism. They don't want a stigma. They don't want to bear his wounds. They want to bear his glory. And so they have that thing where they have a, you know, they want to make a fair show in the flesh. But to do that, according to this verse, they do it because they don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So Paul knows what that's like. He knows what that is like. He knows that he will glory not just that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, but he will glory that he died with him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, but not I. Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah. And so there is that people attack him for being cross-eyed. They think he looks foolish. There's something wrong with your eyes. And as I said, they wanted him to become more balanced. But he said, I'm determined. He's so unbalanced. He says, I am determined not to know anything but to be cross-eyed. That's my determination. I'm sticking with it. God revealed it to me. And I'll stand before the Lord, and I want to stand before the Lord having kept my eyes on him. So, Paul had a stigmatism in his eyes. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and we long that your Spirit would fall upon us in such a manner that we would, our view would be changed, our priorities would be changed, our balance would be changed, all the things that keep us, that make us look good in the flesh, but keep us from seeing Jesus the way that he would desire us to see him and to know him and to draw close to him. Father, make it real in our lives. Make it Christ. Make it life. More than real. Make it life. Make it the Lamb. So that the Father would get that sweet incense that rises from him who laid his life down on the altar. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name.